time, we were trying to figure out why in the world milking is usur, or whether it's even usur midoraisa or not. We had a number of possibilities. Rashi says the mefarik is a told of dash. The question is, em dishal gdule karka. We talked about the position of the Rambam, who seems to say both Andy shall do karka, but also paskin that Khalib zasa mishum mefarik. We had the pshat of the kadma mitzrayim. We had the pshat of the Magid Mishnah. We had the pshat of the karanora. And I think the last thing we said maybe was, I don't remember the last thing we said. Anyway, so Magid Mishnah. Okay, good. So, one way or the other, because of this question, there's some Rishonim Hotaka say, no, Chaliva cannot be a Toldav Dash. Or Mefarik, I should say, should not be a Toldav Dash. So if so, what is it? So Rabbeinu Tam has a very, an Argamar Ein Gimel Reis, a fascinating theory, that you know why it's Chayiv? It's Chayiv Mishum Memachik. What does it have to do with Memachik? It's like a Gemara in Krisus about that the initial drop, l'rache chesadad, and therefore it actually has nothing to do with dash whatsoever. There's actually another possibility that Rashi has on daf tzadi hey. Rashi quotes a yesh omrim that it's asher misham ktsira. Wow. So obviously, this yesh omrim is probably like the view of the Yerushalmi, that it's shayach ktsira shelo b'gidulei karka. It's interesting, Rashi doesn't object on those grounds. Rashi objects because it's not mechubar. To be shayach misham kotzer, you have to detach something that's connected, and this isn't connected. It's pakid v'amir. There's another view, the shita, the betzis and subis, daf samach quotes the Rash, who says yerchai misham gozes. And the Tosfos Rashi and the Meiri over here and Daf Tzadi Hei says this as well. The Reim says it's Chayim Mishum Toichen. The Marsha says it's Chayim Mishum Borer. That might be what Tosfos is referring to over there. We'll get there in a second. Reb Elazar Meir Horowitz on Daf Ein Gimel Beis says it's Mishum Menafetz. So, you know, I don't know. I can't say we get all the malachos. But if you're creative enough.
What about Mark and the
So maybe you could be chayv eight malachos. As we mentioned, the Ramban says taka that you're not chayv any malacha. It can't be disha because it's not gedulei karka, and none of the others make any sense. So taka, the Ramban on daf tzadi hey, also kuf mem dalet, says it's not asher midoraisa at all. And that's the way he actually reads the price on Tzadi Hei. It's a machlokas. The Gemara over there says, San Rabbanon, Hachole, Vamachabitz, Vamagabin, Kigrogeris, Hamachabit, Vamirabitz, Varoda, Chalos, Dvash, Shogi, Rishabas, Chayv, Chatas, Hezi, Beyond of Lokar, Ba'an, Dever, Velazar, Vichachamim, Omrim, Echadze, Vechadze, Eno, Elamisham, Shvos. So most Rishonim assume that Echadze, Vechadze is just modifying, and there's only a debate on the last things in the price, namely, Roda Chalos Dvash and Mirabates, or Mechabed, Mirabates and Dvash. But the earlier ones in the Braisa, like Cholev, Mechabates, and Megabin, are not Shalei B'machlokas. The Ramban says, well, maybe actually the Chachamim would potter that as well. And again, there's very good reason to say you're not Chayv Midoraisa, if you assume in Dishel Gulei Karka. This view of the Ramban is more or less rejected. Almost all the other Rishonim do assume it's an issur d'oraisa, though you will see that it's sometimes cited as a sniff. If you have other tzadim lahakel on certain shailas, maybe throw in the Ramban shita that anyway it's only an issur d'rabanan. Now, the key Gemara for that we need to study to understand this melacha is the Gemara on Kuf Mem Dalet on the base. So the Gemara there is talking about squeezing fruits for juice. And the Gemara says, Amar Yudah Amar Shmuel, Sochet Adam Eshkol Shal Navam L'soch HaKadeira, Avalol L'toch HaKara. So what's the pshat? I have a clump of grapes, a I don't call grapes clump, cluster of grapes. Thank you. Cluster of grapes. So if I squeeze them into a cup or a bowl or something like that, we would probably have an Isser D'oraisa of Shechita L'Kulei Alma. And yet, if you do it into your dish of food, then that's okay. What's the reason? Because Mashka Habalatocha Ochel Ke'ochel Dami. It's Ochla De'ifras. What does that mean? It's like cutting the fruit in two. In other words, the juice inside the grape, or grape is food, it's not a drink, right? You eat grapes. So it starts off as a solid. It ends up as food, as a solid, as it were, because it gets absorbed into this food, into that which you're squeezing. So therefore, this is not dash. This is not schita. That's what the Gemara says. And then Rav Chista adds, medivrei Rabbeinu Nilmad, meaning to based off of this ruling of Shmuel, that it's mutter to be cholev eiz latocha kadeira, avalo latocha kaara. Likewise, you can milk the goat into a kadeira, straight into your lasagna, but not into a kaara. So Tosfos on Ein Gimel and Arsagi says, well, if you learn like Rashi that the iser of cholev is a told of dash, and this makes perfect sense. Because basically, we're equating milking with squeezing grapes. They're the same halacha, and the same basic heter should apply in both cases. But we're trying to get around here, so start it early. But if you learn like, let's say Rabbeinu Tam, or really anyone else who doesn't explain that milking is usher because of disha, so then this doesn't make any sense. Who cares that it's l'tocha kedera? That's a kasha that Tosfos asks on Ein Gimel. He doesn't really answer that question. But the question is, how would Rabbeinu Tam explain the Gemara? So Rabbeinu Tam luckily actually answers the question on that Gemara, though it's not so clear how it's consistent with what he says over here. It's consistent in the sense that he can't just say it's mutter. Well, that's the consistency, because he answers that actually it's aser. You can't do it on Shabbos. It's only mutter on Yantif. The reason why it might not be consistent is because, depending on your Girsif Tosfos, he's saying it's aser alts. Milking is aser alts, either dash or borer, and doesn't seem to mention anything about the titam alachlachas berosh hadad and the memachik business. We'll get back to that in a moment. One way or the other, that's the kasha Tosos asks on Rabbeinu Tam, and the answer is that it's talking about yantif. That even though it's a little bit of a dochak read in the Gemara, because the Gemara says you're allowed to squeeze grapes into the dish on Shabbos, and then Rav Chista says huadin. It sounds like. What? Doesn't say Shabbos, but we're talking about Masechta Shabbos. Everybody assumes that's on Shabbos. And what?
Maybe.
Who doesn't?
Don't some of the Rishonim say it's talking about Yantif?
The first case
for,
also?
Yeah, it's a friend for
who
me.
Says that? So that's Rishonim, I don't remember. So, okay. So the first one's also Yantif. Anyway, that's not what the... certainly not the way we accept. Right, we assume that the first clause is mutter on Shabbos, the second clause is also on Shabbos, and that seems to be the view of the Rif, the Gaonim, Rabbeinu Tam, and others. They all say that bedochak, that the first clause is talking about Shabbos. You could squeeze the grapes into a dish on Shabbos, but you could only milk the goat into a dish on Yantar. So, okay, it's a little dochak in the Lashon, but once you are willing to say that, so then we have an answer to our question. Except, there's still not such a very good answer, because if you're going to say it's mutter on Yantif, well, why would Yantif be different on Shabbos? It's very simple. It's ochel nefesh. Ah, it's ochel nefesh, so then why do you need to do it into a dish? Just do it into the bowl. In other words, if for some reason you think that this is aser on Shabbos, whatever the malacha is, right? It's aser because of X, because of gozes, I don't know, whatever you want. Right? But somehow or another, it's mutter on Yantif because of Ochel Nefesh. So good. So then just do it straight into the bowl. What does it help to put it into the dish? So the Ramban cites a Tshuvas Harif that addresses this question. The question is, what in the world does he mean? So what does the Rif say? Rif says something very, very cryptic, that these are not meleches ochlen mutter velo meleches mashkin. So what does that mean? Sounds like he's saying ochel nefesh velo mashke nefesh, right? So the Iglei Tal says, so what do you mean? You mean you can't like cook your soup on Yantif, or you can't make tea? Maybe soup is an ochel, we'll see. But you can't make tea on Yantif, right? Because it's ochel nefesh, it's not ochel nefesh. So the Iglei Tal says, this is referring to the Ramban's very fascinating idea. This is probably not the time to go into this, but one of the most mysterious things in all of Hilchos Yantif is trying to figure out which malachos are mutter and which ones are aser. Simple, you know, you read the Torah and you say, okay, anything that's relevant for food preparation is going to be mutter. And maybe that is actually true. But there is a lot of evidence that some Rishonim cite that indicates that there are certain things, even though they seem to relate to food preparation, that are nevertheless aser. So, how do you understand it? So, there's a Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, Melisha ve'elach is mutter. In other words, you follow this in Dura de Pasav our Mishnah, and anything pre-Lisha is aser, even if it's for ochel nefesh, even if it's to eat, and anything post-Lisha is mutter. On the Ramban, and then there might be some Rishonim that don't hold the Yerushalmi at all, maybe the Rambam, and really anything that's ochel nefesh would be mutter. The Ramban sort of has a middle mahalich, and he says, we accept that Yerushalmi, but not in a very literal way, the way Tosis actually seems to understand it. There's certain types of melachos that are not in your reshus. They're not meleches yom, they're not meleches. The Ramban bases this on the psukim, that is mahalich between meleches avoda versus meleches hana. And there are certain malachos that are sort of out of your rishus and therefore excluded on Yantif. And there are certain things that are in your rishus that are malachos that are generally associated for, you know, that day's usage as opposed to otsar or the like. And those types of malachos are mutter. So milking is one of those malachos that is not... maybe in the olden days it was a little different, but certainly let's say the way we consider milking, right? It's not one of those things that you milk for today, and you know, the milk takes place in the farm and they gather a lot and then they sell it and you buy it. So therefore milking really should be aser. But milking to a kedera would be mutter. And that's what he means to say, that when it's milking into a bowl or a bucket or the like, then that's not bechlal the heter of ochel nefesh. But when you're milking directly into as a form of food hachana, then it's mutter. That's the way I'll read you a lot in the Ramban, and think that's the way the Iglei Tal explains it. He says the lashon is umito. This is the Ramban's lashon. Again, the Ramban's lashon quoting the Rif. So I guess it's the Rif's lashon. When we talk shem aleches ochel nefesh biyantiv bedvarim sheyefshal asos and meir biyantiv shari cholav nami bitocha ochel shari v'afal gav de melacha hu v'cholav letocha kara de meleches mashkin hu lo hutra biyantiv. So I don't know if that's the most natural reading, but there's meleches mashkin. Meleches mashkin is also because it's not included in the milking. To drink is not in the category of melacha that's mutter on Yantif, but milking letocha kara is. That's the way the Rif is miyashiv. Okay, I think when you learn Hilchos Yantif, see if you can understand that any better. Yeah.
Is that going to help for a machik for Rabbeinu Tam?
No, not necessarily. We'll get back to Rabbeinu Tam in a moment. Right now, we're sort of taking a step back from Tosfos, maybe because we don't understand Tosfos. So we're going to go back to who's the first one to say that that the Gemara that's matir milking into a kedera is dafka talking about yantif. So the Rif, and it sounds like it's even before the Rif there, the Gaonim that said that. So that's the earliest source for this idea, even before Tosfos. So we'll start with there. So that's what the way the Ramban explains quotes from the Rif. Another variation on the Shitas HaGaonim could be found in that Shuva that I sent you. It's printed in the back of the Shita Laran. I don't know exactly where it's from. I think I saw someone attribute it to Rav Haigon. But anyway, so, and it's also printed in the Tshuva if you have the Kisvei HaGaonim on Shabbos. It's, you can find it there as well. Anyway, so there was a Gaon, Echad, you could call him Rav Hai if we want. And he also, like the Rif, assumed that the Heter is only on Yantif. But I guess it's a little easier because from that Gaon it seems like it's just an Isser D'Rabbanan. In other words, the Midoraisa you could actually milk into a bowl on Yantif, and the need to milk into a dish is a Din D'Rabbanan because of Maris Ayin, because people will think that this is Chala for storage, which would be Isser D'Rabbanan. In other words, it would be an Isser D'Rabbanan to let's say I need half a liter of milk on Yantif. I just have like a little coffee, and so I don't need very much milk, and I milk 5 gallons of milk. That's certainly an Isser D'Oraisa. So therefore they said that you can't milk at all into a cup, even if you're only going to take your half a liter. But if it's into a kedera, then it's mutter. Okay. Now, what's the pshat in the raya from Shmuel? Now, that's a little strange, right? But the fact that Shmuel was matir, squeezing the grapes into a dish on Shabbos, so we could see that it's mutter to milk the A's into the dish. So again, it's a loose raya. It's just like over there, we say it's mutter on Shabbos because it's muchecha milsa shezel etzarcha ochel. So memel also, when you squeeze it into the dish on Yantav, it's muchecha milsa, then it's for the ochel, it's for your lasagna. And memel, it's mutter. So there's obviously a big difference between the answer of the Tshuvas HaRif versus the Tshuvas HaGaonim, whether if you did it into a bowl, it would be an Isser D'Oraisa. That's the view of the Rif. Or if you did it into a bowl, it would be an Isser D'Rabbanan. But one way or the other, you see these Rishonim, Gaonim, trying to explain the Gemara somehow or another to explain why it's only mutter to squeeze the goat into a dish and not into a bowl. And doing this would, at least in theory, allow you to explain the Gemara in such a way that chaliva on Shabbos isn't aser because of dash. It could be aser because of some other thing. Fine. Now, within Rabbeinu Tam itself. So here it's a little strange. On the one hand, again, it's Rabbeinu Tam l'shitaso, because you can't explain that it's talking about Shabbos. But when you look at Tosfos, it's quoting the Rabbeinu Tam. So it either mentions, and here there's a girsa issue, either refers to dash or refers to boer. So either you're going to have to say it's a machlokes, what Rabbeinu Tam held, or a Rabbeinu Tam was Choser. Or again, the Igle Tal tries to say, no, it's not a stira. Rabbeinu Tam over here is saying, of course it's normally Aser because of Memachek. The Gemara over here is talking about even if it's not Memachek. In other words, let's say you do Chaliva without Tipam Lachlachas Berosh Hadad, right? Chaliva doesn't have to be Memachek. Chaliva is sometimes Memachek, but what if you avoid that Tipam Lachlachas? You just go straight from 0 to 60. No, not having milked a cow recently, I can't tell you exactly what this is talking about. But sometimes they would put the tipa melachlachas brosh hadad, and sometimes they didn't. So in the event that you didn't, then there's still another issue, the issue of either borer or dash. So dash would be derabanan dikadash, and that disha derabanan wouldn't be deraisa, because of course you need to do like harka. Okay, but it's a little similar to dash. Rashi's that totally wrong. The only reason why it's not dash is because it's Gidul, it's not Gidul HaKarka, so Mimela would be Asa B'Rabbanan. In Cain, so now we could explain why. So to solve that problem, let's say B'Rabbanan Dash, so we'll solve that problem simply by saying, by making sure that it's L'Tocha Ochel, and that's what the Tosfos is talking about. Good. Okay, so all this is in theory so far, you know, theory, you know, the eight different melachos that the milking might fall under. But it was a very practical question. It's in theory, I'm saying, because everybody agrees it's aser to be choleib on Shabbos, whether it's in the Sidraisa, it's in the Sidrabanan, whatever melach it is, it's certainly aser. But a very practical question came up, which is, what happens if the cow is in a lot of pain if it doesn't, if it's not milked? So this was a very practical question. Jews owned cows, and these cows would be in a lot of pain if they weren't milked. You can't just wait all of Shabbos. So what is the Jewish farmer to do? So there's a Gemara Kuf Chachesim at base that talks about Bittul Kli Mechano, which is a totally different issue, maybe because of Bona, maybe because of Soser, need not concern us right now. But the Gemara indicates over there that B'makom Tzar Balei Chayim, they were Mekel. Because of Tzar Balei Chayim, according to many Rishonim, is a Din D'Oraisa especially. So they were Matir, the Yisur D'Rabbanan of Bittul Kli Mechano for Tzar Balei Chayim. So the Rush says we could derive from there a general principle that maybe their makil for Isurim D'Rabbanan, or at least certain Isurim D'Rabbanan, for Tzar Balei Chayim. And since there'd be a lot of tzar to this cow if you didn't milk it, so Memela, says the Rush, you could ask a guy to do Chaliva on Shabbos. He's quoting the Maram, his Rabbi. And he says you could have a guy do Chaliva even on, you know, on the one hand, in Medavin Shvus L'Shvus. But on the other hand, maybe Amir Lenachli is the most lenient of the Shvusim, because it's Ein Bo Maisa. Shvus Ein Bo Maisa is more Kal. So if we were Mekel, a Bittul Kli Mechano for Tzar Balei Chayim, we could also be Mekel on Amir Lenachli for Tzar Balei Chayim. And therefore, you could ask a guy to milk your cow that would otherwise be in pain on Shabbos. The Mordechai, and Misha Hechshech, Sivan Tav Meim Ches, also quotes a kula from the Maram. So same Maram, Mordechai was also a Talmud of the Maram, but the Mordechai says it a little differently. The way that the Maram, in the Mordechai says it is, you have to pay the guy for the milk. And the way the Gra, Simin Shinhe, Sif Katan Chaf, I think, says, what's the pshat in the Maram? This version of the Maram, we'll call it the Mordechai. The Mordechai is that, well, really it is Amir L'Nachri, we can't be Matir. Maybe because Ein Medamin Shvus L'Shvus. So you basically have the guy milk it for himself. Right? So then it's not a problem Amir L'Nachri anymore because it's a Daita D'Nafshe, and then you could buy the milk from the guy after Shabbos. In other words, he's not willing to be Mekel for Amir L'Nachri B'Makom Tzar Balei Chayim. So how do we paskin? So when I said the Gra'ah, I mean Sif Katan Chaf. I meant, I think, Sif Chaf. So what do we paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch and Simen Shin Hei Sif Chaf writes that the minhag is to be Mekel. And that was the minhag. That was a practice in Europe and in the early days of Israel to use a guy to do the milking. Great. So then it came a time in Eretz Yisrael where people didn't want to use the guy anymore. Why? Either because they were afraid of terrorists. There were in the mandate Palestine lots of terrorist attacks, or because Avodat Yisrael. This is actually a very controversial issue over there. We don't
to Hamas.
So for those who study the early history of Israel, this was an interesting, it was a big brouhaha, but without getting into too much details, so people stopped wanting to use a guy. They wanted to know if there's any tzad to be mako without relying on a guy. So the Chazon Ish had a kula, we'll tell you what the cool of the Chazon Ish is in a second, but I'll just parenthetically. So the Kanaim didn't like this kula, and they wrote to Reb Chaim Ozer. So Reb Chaim Ozer wrote them back, listen to the Chazon Ish, and, you know, it's a very interesting, it's like part of Das Torah is when a gadol says something is mutter, to listen. So stop with your kanos. Anyway, Ayin Sham. So what was the Chazon Ish's kula? Chazon Ish has a kula of holech le'ibud, meaning to say, as long as the Jew could do the milking, as long as the milk is destroyed, it's wasted, milk onto the floor, or into something that's pogame or something like that. Why should that be mutter? So we already know from Tosos and Ayin Gimel Beis in the Gemara that you saw by Shechita that kvashin shesachdan legufan is mutter. I have a pickle and it's like a waterlogged pickle. Too much pickle juice in my pickle, so I could squeeze out my pickle and eat my pickle nice and dry, like I like them. So Tosos and Ayin Gimel Beis, this is very interesting, because I understand why it'd be melach shen shich legufa, right? In which case it would be asher midrabeis kodesh Rabbi Yehuda, and at least asher midrabbanan for us. Because shich legufa would be to squeeze the fruits for their juice, and maybe shich legufa would be to get rid of the juice because it's too waterlogged. But the Gemara implies it's mutter, it's not even shich legufa. And Tosfos answers, a very important Tosfos, and we've already talked about this Tosfos a couple of times, that the need for the mashke in sochet is so fundamental to the definition of the malacha that when you're sochet legufan, that's not even the malacha at all. It's not even the malacha at all. Like zomer the ein sarch le'etzim, that you're not going to be chayv shem kotzer. It's not going to be ein sarch legufa, but it's not going to be kotzer at all. Fundamental to the malach of ktsira, at least with respect to eitzim, is the use of or the need for the thing that you are cutting. And likewise, the fundamental to the definition of shechita, of dash, is the usage of the thing that you're squeezing or extracting. And memela, kvashin shesachtan legufan, is not at all a problem. So, if that's true, says the Chazon Ish, likewise, and the Ramban also says this, it's not Disha at all, it should be mutter to squeeze the milk, the cow, and the milk will be holech l'ibud, right? It's not even going to be in shvich l'gufa. It certainly would be in shvich l'gufa. It won't even be that. Because we don't really have a basis to be matir in shvich l'gufa for tzar bali chayim. Again, maybe we could be mako on Amir l'nachri, but you can't jump from Amir L'Nachri to Ein Shvich L'Gufa. As we already mentioned, Ein Shvich L'Gufa is probably the most chamor of all the Shvusim. But this isn't even Ein Shvich L'Gufa, it's garnished. That's the beheter. Now, the problem is, this works for a number of Rishonim, like we said, the Ramban and Tosfos. It doesn't work for all Rishonim. For example, the Ran holds that L'Gufan, or Holich Le'ibud, though it's not an Isser D'Oraisa, Holich Le'ibud would still be an Isser D'Rabbanan. The context of this run actually comes up in more than one place, but one place that it comes up is, and we're going to actually get back to this sugya, this part of the sugya, especially when we talk about wipes. So we'll introduce it now. I sent you a tshuva on wipes from Rav Asher Weiss. There's some additional marmakomos on that, and also I want to talk about Shechita B'Seyar and stuff, so we'll I'll send you some additional marmakomos on that. But anyway, back to this. So what's the where's this ran appear? So the sugya on kuf yud misuchreisa de nazaisa aser lahadka. We already mentioned this before. One havana is that you have this barrel, and there's like a spout in a barrel, and when you insert the spout, there's a cloth, and the cloth is being squeezed and the wine is coming out of the cloth. So is that aser? So Rabbeinu Tam says, well, it shouldn't be aser because it's not going to be, again, shechita could either be because of milabim, but that wouldn't make sense over here. We're talking about wine, not water, and it doesn't make sense that it's schita because when you shtup the thing in, the wine is halach liblut, it just goes to the floor, and he comes up with some other iser why it's a bona. But the point is that it's clear from that Rabbeinu Tam, he's saying, yeah, there's no issue at all with schita when it's halach liblut. At schita, there would be no problem squeezing the cloth to halach liblut. Ramban also thinks there it's not an issue of schita for a different reason. He thinks because there's only schita when it comes to juices that grew inside the fruit, like a grape, not this absorbed juice. But that's a different issue. Anyway, but the Ran says no. That's asher al schita. It's true since tolach liibud, it's not schita deraisa, but it's schita derabanan. Schita that tolach liibud is also derabanan. So if that's true, so then according to the Ran, this heter that the Chazon Ish came up with, doing chaliva al yidei Yisrael when it's halach li'ibud, shouldn't be okay. And the answer is, yeah, taka, probably it would be us according to the Ran. Now, it's not so, I guess just before we get there, how could the Ran say it's us? Didn't the Gemara say it's mutter? In other words, the Gemara says you're allowed to squeeze your pickles, right? So how could the Ran say there's an issur d'rabbanan? So the Ran says that's tali n'machlok eshmol and Rabbi Yochanan, and it depends how you're going to paskin. So if you hold that there's only an issur d'rabbanan for squeezing, so then there will be heter when the mashkin that you squeeze are holich libut. But if you hold that there's an issur d'raisa to squeeze, so holich libut bumps it down one level to d'rabbanan, and therefore it's still going to be awesome with Rabbanan. That's telling the Machlokas Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan over there, and then the question is how do you paskin and the like. But one way or the other, push comes to shove, according to Ran, Holch Ibud is not a hatter. It would be potter, but it wouldn't be mutter. Otherwise, in the end of the day, the Chazon Ish says, though, B'shas Adchak, so he's not into this, you know. If you have another way to milk the cows, you shouldn't rely on Holch Ibud, but if there is no other way, because it's Tzar Balechayim, and to get the guy, you have to worry about terrorism, and who knows what, so you could be Somech on the Rishonim that are Mekel, and do chaliva that's holech li'ibud. Since the days of the Chazon Ish, and I think partially based off of the direction, the guidance of the Chazon Ish, they have all sorts of other kulas patented nowadays. If you go to Israeli farms, milk farms. So one thing that they do nowadays based off of the psakim of the Chazon Ish is they have a machine that the first milk is holich li'ibud and not all of it, which isn't so pashut at all, and because they're assuming that the subsequent milk is sort of a grama, right? Now this gets back into a question that we're going to talk a lot about. We already referred to it, the question of whether if you build it all into a single system, whether you'd ever consider that grama or not. The Rav did not think that was grama. So the contemporary milking machines in Israel are based off the Chazon Ish and then based off of the Kula in Dine Grama, and we'll return to those maybe, I don't know this particular case, but the discussion of grama a little bit later. They also use Shabbos clocks. Yeah, they use the milk.
That's not being Somech in Grama Lechachila?
Well, there's Markum Hefseid, and there are other kulas, plus they use a Shabbos clock, and they put together different kibbutzim of different ways of
being Mekabetz Aterim, I guess.
Figuring out ways, but I think practically many of the farms in Israel nowadays have figured out ways to milk on Shabbos and keep the milk.
Shabbos clock would be a problem. Why would the Shabbos, there would be a Shalim?
Well, is that grandma also?
No,
you can't put the clock. I mean, that would be fine, but you're not going to have the cow walking around all day with Shabbos clock attached to it. So you attach the cow to the milking machine before it went on. So that's not so pashut either. Anyway, so. So all that's relevant for farms in Israel. None of us live on a kibbutz, at least no longer. You know, we're pretty close if you went to Karen Viavna, but this question is a very common contemporary question with respect to nursing women. That's really where this question comes up a lot. And it's a issue that, that causes women, many, many women, tremendous agmas nefesh. For whatever reason, for a while, I mean, you say like 40, 50, 60 years ago, like they got very into formula, and like only low class women nursed, and you know they were, you know, we technology advanced past the need for nursing, and then more recently, in the last several decades, first it was more the new age people, and then now in the last couple decades, you know, mainstream medicine has found that that mother's milk is really much healthier for the baby. It provides all sorts of different things that are helpful for the baby. And even though they still make formula, and there are plenty of babies that use formula exclusively, but nevertheless, there are numerous medical benefits to nursing when possible. In fact, the difference between my oldest kid and my youngest kid, this all changed. Not my youngest, but my oldest kids, when they were born, the hospital like would leave you with like a whole diaper bag full of nursing and formula, because all the companies would give them out for free because they would hope you'd like start using their brands. And like nobody went around trying to get all the women to nurse. If you wanted to, they would help you, and if not, not. And nowadays, they will. The hospitals won't give out formula. They basically, you know, they won't even use that F word. And it's like now, the problem is that many women, for whatever reason, have a lot of difficulty nursing. It doesn't work at all, or there's not enough, or the like, and they want to supplement with pumping, or pump entirely, or pump partially, or the like. And that obviously presents a very big Hilchos Shabbos island, and seemingly an Issur D'oraisa to pump. So again, there could be two reasons why you would pump, actually, and we'll consider both. One would be pumping to alleviate pain. We'll see that's actually discussed in the Gemara, and that's obviously not going to be so much of an issue. And then the second, more problematic one, is going to be pumping to store the milk, to use the milk. And the question is that going to ever be mutter? Is there a way to do that? So the Gemara on Daf Kaf Lamed Hey, Amud Aleph, talks about the case of pumping to alleviate pain. The Gemara there is talking about a ben ches. Ben ches harayu ke'even. This is not a relevant halacha l'maisa nowadays anymore. Not really for a long time. But in Talmudic times, babies that were born in the eighth month babies were basically dead. They were surely going to die, and we don't even see them as even really being alive because they can't live. So you could have 9-month babies that'll live, and 7-month babies that'll live. 8th month babies can't live, except sometimes 8th month babies are like late 7-monthers or early 9th-monthers, so it's always, you can't always know. But whatever it is, whatever ben ches is, so a ben ches is hareyu ke'even, it's muksa, it's not a living being whatsoever. So the problem is that the mother gave birth to this 8th month baby, and she's in pain because she needs to nurse. She has too much milk. So the Gemara says it's mutter for her to be meinik, to nurse her, this 8th month baby, mipnei ha-sakana. So most Rishonim point out sakana is lav dafka, because then there's no chiddush if it's really she's with sakana. Means tsar, means she's in pain because of the excess milk, and she would be in a lot of pain if the baby didn't nurse, so she's allowed to nurse to alleviate that pain. So why is that mutter? So Tosfos says that we're makel because of tsar, and not only that, but it's mutter for her to even like to squeeze out that milk for this 8th month baby to alleviate pain. Now, presumably, we're not talking here about an Isser Deraisa, because we're not Mater an Isser Deraisa for pain. So Tosos understands that doing this is an Isser Derabanan. What's the Isser Derabanan? It's Ein Tzricha L'Gufa, Tosos says. Why is it Ein Tzricha L'Gufa? Very simple. Because she has no need for the milk per se. She's just trying to get rid of the milk, basically, to alleviate pain. So nursing, milking that's Tzrich L'Gufa is to get the milk. Milking that's done to alleviate pain is Ein Tzrich L'Gufa, and therefore, B'Makom Tzar, they were Megel. It's similar to the Tosus we saw in Arsa Gana and Gemara Beis about B'Makom Choli and Tzar being Megel even on Ein Tzrich L'Gufa.
Meaning, wouldn't our Tosus say that it's Mazlach Chila?
Well, if it's Ein Tzrich L'Gufa, it would still be Aser.
Meaning, doesn't our Tosus make it sound as if it's not Lamashka, then it's not even Malach of Dosh?
Well, let's see. Here it might be lemashkin in the sense that you're feeding the baby. It's just you're not feeding the baby for the purpose of the baby. But maybe. But that's what Tosfos says over there. And you could clarify about whether our Tosfos could be more meko. But Tosfos, and the Rush also says this, that the heter is because of enesichel gufa. The Or Zerua, Simen and Ches, it's quoted by the Beis Yosef, and Simen Shin Lamed Sif Ches, gives a different heter, or an additional heter, actually. And he says it's because it's Holech Le'ibud. So there's no Isser of milking, sounds like no Isser at all, when the Cholav is Holech Le'ibud. And that answer, so both Tosfos, And the Or Zerua are both quoted by the Beis Yosef. Now, how do we paskin in Shulchan Aruch? So in Simen Shin Lamed Sif Ches, the paskin said it's mutter. In other words, it's mutter to squeeze out the milk if it's causing her pain. But it's not clear which reason we accept. And if you look at the Mishnah Berurah over there, Sif Katan Lamed Beis, the Mishnah Berurah quotes both reasons. Now, what's tricky is that there, l'chora, are nafkaminas between the reasons. For example, if you think the whole letter is only because of Tzar Balei Chaim, we might not accept that principle. Ein Tzrich L'Gufa, Mutter being Mutter B'Makom Tzar Chola. We might not accept that. There's a whole long bir halacha on Simen Reisha and Ches at the beginning that we might paskin that B'Makom Tzar were not Mekel for Ein Tzrich L'Gufa. There's stiras in the Mishnah Berurah's view about that, but so we might not accept Tosus's answer. We might need a different answer. We might need the Or Zerua's answer. Another possible nafkamina would be whether you would be matir this for Tzar Balei Chaim, going back to the cows, right? If you think that the whole heter is only because of Ein Tzrich L'Gufa, so probably we wouldn't be Mekel for Tzar Balei Chaim. If you think there's a heter of Holech Le'ibud, like the Or Zerua says, so then maybe we could be Mekel, that's the Chazon Ish's Kula for Tzar Balei Chaim to be Mekel for Holech Le'ibud. So that's another Nafkamina. Another Nafkamina is a point that the Chazon Ish makes. The Chazon Ish says that if you're going to rely on the Heter Holech Le'ibud, and the Chazon Ish thinks you need to rely on that, then look, at the very least for animals. So it has to be holech le'ibud immediately. In other words, let's say this woman is using and operating a regular breast pump, and her intention is to pump the milk and then throw it down the sink. But until she gets around to throwing it down the sink, it's, I don't know, five minutes, so is that going to be mutter? So if you hold of Tosos's answer, that would be mutter, right? Because it's still Ein Tzrich L'Gufa. Whereas the Chazon Ish argues that if you learn like the Or Zerua, it's only going to be true if it's Holech L'Ibud immediately. So therefore, what you would need to do, says the Chazon Ish, assuming you don't want to like milk onto the floor, is to milk into something that's going to be poking the milk to ensure that it's immediately wrecked. So what you could do, practically speaking, the way most pumps work is that it pumps directly into the bottle. So you put a little bit of soap or detergent or something like that at the bottom of the bottle. Make sure it's something that isn't muksa. And then you milk into that, or you pump into that, and then that will ensure that immediately it's ruined. And that's based off of the hatter of the Or Zerua, and that's the ruling of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says it's only mutter if it's holich li'ibud. Not everybody agrees to that. I think Rav Vadia, for example, is makel that as long as you do plan to throw it out, it's going to be okay. And it's quoted others as well. It's quoted the Shmir Shabbos maybe. It's Yalkut Yotz, if you want to see it, is in Shabbos Chelak Dalet Hosafos Lesimin Samech Vav. He writes, Minekesh Shesovelas Meodef Chalav Yesh Latzar Meribuy HaChalav Shevedadeha Mutar La Lishov HaChalav B'Shabbat Al Yedei Mash Eva Miuchedet Lakach Uvovad Shetishpoch Achar Kach Et HaChalav Leibud. As opposed to the Chazon Ish, who, because he says we need to rely on the Or Zeruah, and the Or Zeruah is only matir if it's holich li'ibud immediately, so then you would need to do it into be holich li'ibud anyway. In this case, the poskim I suggest being machmir, and I don't see why you wouldn't be machmir, because it's very easy to, as I said, to put that soap on the bottom of the milk bottle. If anyway you're going to throw it out, so you may as well be machmir on that shayla. Again, if you weren't, it would still be at worst in Enetrich HaLagufa, so you wouldn't be over on Enetrich HaLagufa, but that's the proper way to do it. So the first case, now I should point out that I was saying that, let's say you're going to keep the milk, that would be Nisr Deraisa, I said. So that is a discussion in a poskim, whether it's Nisr Deraisa or not. Mishnah Berurah discusses this. But many of the poskim, this is among them the Shevet Alevi, which is quoted in the Dershu over there, say that nowadays everybody would agree it's a Nisr Deraisa. There were those that said a woman pumping wouldn't be Derabban Deraisa because it's Kalachar Yad. And that's because, I don't know, 100 years ago, when the Mishnah was written, so it was a very strange thing. Pumping was not a normal thing. The truth is the high-class women didn't nurse either, but that's because they would get low-class women to nurse for them. It's not because they pumped. But nowadays, where pumping is so common, in fact, you have to give out free pumps nowadays. So the insurance companies are mandated to give out free pumps. So pumping is very common. It's much harder to argue that we're dealing with that it's only Klachar Yad nowadays. Okay, so again, the first question is, could you pump to reduce, relieve pain? And the answer is, if you do it, le'ibud, that's going to be mutter, and that's pretty straightforward. It's pretty straightforward. And that's not a tricky, you know, you could use a hand pump, or maybe a machine pump that was left on before Shabbos, or you could put it on a Shabbos clock or something like that. As long as holich li'ibud, it's okay. The question we need to deal with is what if you want to keep the milk? Is there any tzad l'hatel? Before we get to that, there's another thing that's on the books that might be helpful, which is squeezing the breast to release a little bit of a drop of milk to get the baby to latch on. So that's already in the Beis Yosef from the Shibul Eleket, so we'll talk about that first. But yeah.
Meaning, but if you think that the heter is only b'makom tsar, so then if a woman is just trying to keep her supply, it wouldn't be as pashut to hold the Hebrew is mutter?
It would be not as pashut, but to be makel on that isn't crazy either. In other words, we're not dealing with a deraisa shayla that's already mutter b'makom tsar. She's a chola anyway, usually, and things like that. So that's not as obvious. But also to be makel on that type of derabanan shayla, which might not even be as a derabanan, as you pointed out, is not I don't know if it's pashut, but it's not pashut to be megel, but it's certainly not pashut to be machmir at all. You could make a strong case that that should be mutter to keep up your supply as long as it's halachal ibud. But again, the question is, what about if not? So first let's talk about the question, as I said, that's on the books in the Beis Yosef, which is a very interesting halacha. You're allowed to, again, to the Shibulia, it's quoted in Siman Shin Chaf Ches, in Sif Lamed Hei in the Beis Yosef, the Shibulia HaLeket, quoting Harav Ben Yamin, that says, Noagos Shemekalchos Me'achalav Kedei Sheyochaz Hadad V'Yineik Mutter. So, and this is something that some women still do till today. They squeeze the breast a little bit, and not much comes out. It's not pumping in any sense, but that's helpful to get the baby to latch on, to get interested, to wake up the baby, so the baby starts nursing. And this is obviously not as obvious. Why should this be mutter? Right? This is not holy chli ibud. So why should it be mutter? So if you look at the Shaar Tzion, Sif Katan Pei Aleph, again, Siman Shin Chaf Ches, he's bothered by this. Tzarech Taima Alma Hitiru Bezeh. Why should this be mutter? So first he quotes some that say, the Tosefa Shabbos, that any time a woman is pumping or collecting milk, that's only mefar kalachar yad, because degabe adam ein derech linok. So that's one possible answer. Against Levush, Levush is deraisa, Tosef Shabbos is derabanan, but as we actually mentioned nowadays, it's not so pasha to say it's derabanan anymore. The primigadim.
How can you, if the whole point, meaning the way the case was described sounds like, how can you tell you that's kalach? Meaning, without pumps. Like, if it was normal...
You're saying this is normal.
I mean, if it was normal for women to do that to try and help them.
So then it shouldn't be. So this gets back into our old Tzuras HaMalacha business. Meaning to say, if collecting human milk is something extremely abnormal, then even though here, squeezing to get this drop is normal, that you could argue, and this is a debate, as he quotes, between the Levush and the Tosefa Shabbos, you could argue that's already still Kalach Ayad. Now you could say that, extend that even to nowadays, but that's where the Shevet Alevi says that's not so posh. Then he quotes another heter from the Prima Gadim that Shakavana Shulchan Aruch Lachlo Valgabe Karka V'yiratinok. In other words, said it's to wake up the baby, not by waking up the baby, by giving it some milk in its mouth. A very smart baby. The baby sees the milk being spritzed onto the floor and wakes up and decides, now it's time to nurse. But the Mishnah Berurah says, I looked at the Shibul Eleket inside, and that's impossible to say, because it says, Latoch Pi Hatinok. And then the Shaar Tzion, the Mishnah Berurah sort of throws up his hands, and he says, V'ulai Duhu Mishom, Dehu bechlal sakana in lo yinak. The im calls that tzarachiyon. So the Shaar Tzion really doesn't know what to do with this halacha. He's saying it's mutter, but why, he's not sure. Maybe you have to come on to sakana. Now, that in the days of the Mishnah Berurah, there would be a sakana. It's obviously much more pashut than nowadays. Nowadays, to say it's a sakana is not at all pashut, because there are alternatives. Many people, despite the fact that I told you before that women who give birth will get all sorts of schmoozin about how important nursing is, which will cause them tremendous anxiety in the event that they have trouble. But plenty of people use formula. You know, there are generations of people where everybody used formula. But so it's not so pashut if the only kula we have is going to be because of sakana nowadays. There are other answers besides those quoted by the Shaar Tzion. The Tehillah LeDavid, Shin Chaf Ches and Osios Nun Ches and Nun Tes, says the answer is that this is Einu Tzricha L'Gufa, because apparently the first milk doesn't taste good. Einu Ta'im L'Tinok V'Lachein Sha'ya. It's very difficult because, like it says in the, as the Mishnah Berurah points out from the Lashon of the Priya Shibulei Lekhet, it says b'fiatinok. So again, if it was holy chliibut, fine, but you're doing it b'fiatinok. So that's very difficult. And I think the Tzildon himself makes that point to Lizav with the Tzarchian. Now, interesting, one possibility you could say is that from the Enfich Lagufa, even if the baby does drink the milk, because this milk isn't for the purpose of drinking. It's like we said, to get the baby to latch on, right? It could be holech but also. It's to get the baby's attention. Happens to be, it is b'fiatinok, it's not holech li'ibud, but it's not for the purpose of drinking or eating or the like. It's for a secondary purpose. So that's an interesting question. Would that be enet shvich l'gufan? And really, to understand that, we have to go back to the Havana of enet shvich l'gufa. Perhaps, if you're more Mishkan oriented, and that's not so pashut either, because we're talking here about Tolda, but you might say, yeah, if it's for eating or drinking, that's when it's a problem. But this isn't for eating or drinking, this is for attention getting, even though you happen to drink it. So that's a very mechudash answer.
But I have in the Mishkan, it's for dying, it wasn't for eating.
Right. So you'd have to say that's for utilizing, it's for consumption, as opposed to, you know, there's a dye is used. Here, this is like squeezing, you know, spritzing the baby in the face to wake up.
The baby's not going to drink that milk?
The baby happens to drink the milk, but those who try to make this case say that's irrelevant. That's a byproduct. You wake it up by squeezing milk into its mouth. And the byproduct is, you know, usually it's going to swallow it and not spit it out.
That's using the milk.
That's not using the milk for consumption. It's using the milk as a wake-up call. But you're the objections that you're all raising are reasonable points, which is, as you know, as we saw from the Shar Tzion, why he didn't think it was such a, you know, that was such a good answer. Some say a little different, that no, it's not in Shechel Gufa, it's not, doesn't have Tars Mashkin, because again, Mashkin would be to drink. This, the purpose isn't to drink over here, it's to wake up. And therefore, it's not, if it doesn't have Tars Mashkin, then it should be okay. Now, the most far-reaching answer to this is to take that, but even one step further. And this is an idea from Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg. It's quoted in Children in Halacha by Rav Simcha Bonim Kohn on page 121 in a footnote. And he uses a tremendous chiddush, which at first glance, I was mechavi to it, but then I thought it was totally wrong. But he says it. He says that, and the truth is that you could even pump for later. You could even pump for later. Why? It should be aser for sure, right? These are different ways. He says, no. Let me ask you a question. So, this might not be true for milking according to the Rishonim that we paskin like, but let's say according to Rashi or schita of grapes into the dish. So why is that mutter? You're doing schita? Answer is, nah, it's ochel. Ochel de ifras, right? It was ochel, it's still ochel. Ah. So here too, the baby's milk for the baby isn't a drink. It's ochel. I'll say, what do you mean? It's liquid, the last I checked. The answer is, as you've probably seen already several times in this simon, that the halachic definition of ochel and mashke don't follow the standard scientific definitions of liquid and solid. For example, it could even be in other areas of halachas that, like soup, since you eat it with a spoon for your main course, or to fill you up, is an evident of a mashke. Other base, Yosef says, for example, that fruits that are squeezed for medicinal purposes don't have a shame ochel, don't have a shame mashka. We'll get some other applications of the skula, but there are a bunch of places where we see that just because something is a liquid, it doesn't mean it's a mashka. So, like, what's the baby's food? Milk. That's its ochel. happens to be a liquid. When I drink a glass of milk, that's a drink for me. But this is the ochal of the baby. Now, the it happens to be that the Tosefta says that she's not allowed to store the milk. Okay, so maybe it could be Delcha the Tosefta somehow or another.
But who cares? Even if it is an ochel, like Rabbi Natan says, you're not allowed to milk a cow.
Very good. So you're saying, and this is a very strong question. I don't know what he's going to say. This very well, he made the same point, which is it's very hard to understand because when do we say this? We say this by an animal, right? So you could milk. Let's say you learn like Rashi on Shabbos, right? So you milk the cow into the dish. The cow's food, and the dish is food. So it's mutter, right? And Rabbeinu Tam says, no, cow isn't food on Shabbos because you can't shaft on Shabbos. It's only food on Yantif. Fine. But a woman is certainly not food. Shabbos or Yantif, right? So you can't say it's ochel d'ifras, ochel ochel. Even if it is ochel. Because she's not food.
Is that overwhelmingly passion?
What do you want to say?
A cow, there's a hectare to, well, and I guess there's a special drasha that says you're allowed to drink milk in the first place. There's no drasha that says you're allowed to drink woman's milk.
Well, that's only us that has about the shaktu.
So by that time, in other words, I guess that proves it. In other words, the fact that it's a cow's milk is cow. A woman's milk is not woman. Mm-hmm. You don't need a plastic to humanitarian.
Well,
I
heard women not saying the first.
Even a high and cannibalism. Okay, good. No, not for now. So maybe it's an only necessary. Anyway, that's a very big chiddush to say for that reason. In other words, even the rishonim that are mati or chaliva b'shabbos l'toch hatavshil, and we happen to say it's aser, b'char is only because the cow has a shame ochel, and even if on Shabbos you can't eat it because it's in the seshchita, but still there's a shame ochel. You hold in the halachic restrictions. So maybe even if you're going to be makil for that first drop, which is an easier kula because, again, it's not really for the purpose of drinking, it's for the purpose of waking up. So maybe you could say it doesn't have a shame mashka. But the question is going to be, as I said, the ikar question of Bizman Hazeh that everybody wonders about is can you milk? Can you pump to store? So Shlomo and Lechora, we're dealing with an Isser D'oraisa here. So again, obviously, if you're in a matzav of sakana, like there's no other source of milk for the baby, then there's nothing to talk about. Okay, it's an Isser D'oraisa, the baby will die. That's not a shaila. Even a suffix sakana. Let's say the baby wouldn't take formula, right? So that's pashut. Then, if she can't nurse normally, and it's actually a whole interesting discussion. I don't think we're going to get into it. Why even nursing is mutter? Is the only hatter going to be sakana? So or revise or the a lot of interesting. Is it asa because of safinan? So obviously it's mutter. Everybody, there's just an interesting clear why, but we won't get into that now. So the point is that if it's sakana, so then there's nothing to talk about. Okay, or suffix sakana is nothing to talk about. The question is, nowadays where there are alternatives and plenty of people, you know, nobody thinks that is worried that the baby's going to die if you don't nurse, right? And many people don't nurse. Many women don't nurse just for convenience. It's not comfortable, or they want to go to work, or whatever it is. So nobody thinks that that a mother is doing ritzicha if she decides not to nurse and instead give formula, right? So is there any hatter? So Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Vodnish Mir Shabbos Kilchasa, has an amazing chiddush. Says that at least if the baby hasn't yet tried formula, this is the mother's milk is its food, and therefore it's mutter. That's what he says. Many other poskim disagree. They say, how could you say that? How could we modernize a deraisa if there is no pikuach nefesh? And we don't really think this is pikuach nefesh. And that's why many, many, many poskim are machmir. That you could pump for ibud, it could pump if it's pikuach nefesh, but in the typical case, it's not going to be pikuach nefesh. And even though the mother prefers that her baby have breast milk because that's healthier, it's healthier, but it's not pikuach nefesh.
Meaning, even if you assume, I just don't understand Michelle Zalman, even if you assume that is like, okay, so it's food.
And so it dies without food? It's hard to understand exactly what he means. You don't know if this baby's going to take formula. So right now, Bashar Husham, this is the baby's food. And the baby will die without food. So it's mutter.
Just try formula.
So that's I think, why many post-gim object. This might relate to the discussion of chole shartz rachem and chole sheish bo sakana. At least the case that Shlomo Zalman might be talking about is a case where you're dealing with still a chole sheish bo sakana. The common one time where this is a common question is the baby is in the NICU, maybe born premature, not ready to nurse yet, so you only ready for bottles. And the question is, you know, can she pump to feed the baby in bottles? So that's certainly the baby is a chole sheish bo sakana, the baby's in the NICU. So maybe that. But as I said, other poskim disagree. And certainly they disagree when we're talking about, let's say, several months later, the baby's not in a NICU, the baby will take formula. Again, let's say you have a woman who has a hard time actually nursing. Common question. So she pumps. And she actually even uses formula. She can't pump enough to supply the baby, so she pumps 2 or 3 ounces. They give that to the baby in a bottle, and then they supplement with formula another 2 or 3 ounces. All right, so you know this baby takes formula. And you know, so how could it be makel? So that's why many poskim are machmir on the shayla. Among them, Rabbi Willig was always machmir on the shayla. So recently, Rabbi Willig had a tzad to be makel. He said he doesn't know yet. He hasn't been forced to paskin. But a tzad to be makel, based off of, more recently, they learned in Rosh HaKolel the sugyas of Pikuach Nefesh. And there's a very interesting argument made by the Megillah Sefer. And this is a very broad question relating to Pikuach Nefesh. Fascinating and very, very important point that has obviously applications well beyond this. The Gemara in Yoma, Pei Dalet Amud Beis, and the sugyas of Pikuach Nefesh is like this. There is a kid that gets locked in a room. This happened to me twice, by the way, in my life. It's pretty crazy. Not me, my kids. So the halacha is that you're allowed to knock down the door, break down the door to get to the baby. Kid, whatever it is. Boy, the kid. Kid's scared, right? If locked up, you're allowed to break down the door. And even if breaking down the door involves an issue of Isa, you're allowed to do it. So, obviously, the Gemara says, it's a pikuach nefesh, a kid's locked in a room. So the Gemara says, tzricha. No, there's a chiddush. Why? Efshar de yasev behai gisa umishabesh le beamguzi tzricha. Now, so you could sit on the other side of the door and, I don't know, play games with the kid and try to calm them down and read them books and slip candies under the door or whatever it is. You know, it's not like so clear cut that there's a sakana. Still, you're allowed to break down a door, even if it involves Chol Shabbos. So that's what the Gemara says. Gemara Shmuel Antasar. And that din is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, or not really Shulchan Aruch, but in the Magen Avraham Shem Chav Ches, Sifkan Ches, and the Shabur over there, Sifkan Lam Ches. Good. So now the question is, so why Taka? In other words, is the Pshat in the Kula that it's mutter because the reality is that the baby, the child, is in danger if you don't break down the door, and playing nuts with the baby isn't going to really solve the problem. Maybe. So the Kamash Malan is just, yeah, this is still sakana. But it doesn't sound like that. So maybe the pshat is that if a person, this is the way the, as I said, the Megillah Sefer tries to argue. If you want to look at it, it's in Megillah Sefer. Did I send this to you? Did I end up putting this in a Makaros? No? I printed it. Good. Okay, so you know where it is. Anyway, so the Megillah Sefer, oh, here it is. Chav Zayin Os Vav. Says like this. He says, I'll tell you why I think it's mutter. If a person were to go ahead and say, you know what, I'm not going to break down the door, I'm just going to play Scrabble with the kid inside. So we wouldn't say, oh my goodness, you're a murderer. But if someone at the same time thinks, you know what, if my baby is in a matzav of sakana, I don't hold playing Scrabble with the kid is going to solve the problem, then you're allowed to break the door. In other words, there's a subjective element to pikuach nefesh. And someone who feels like it's a sakana, so then it's mutter for them to be mechal Shabbos. That's the chiddush of the Gemara, according to this reading. Now, if you saw that piece in the Megillah Sefer, so he notes that this might claim relate to the famous Kula of the Magid Mishnah based of Shart Srachim and the Radvaz's explanation of that, and it relates to some other sources. And he says the Megillah Sefer, that's the pshat in Rosh Shlomo Zalman's Kula by pumping. What does that mean? That a woman, a mother, says, I think, I'm worried about pikuach nefesh. I think if my baby doesn't get breast milk, the baby is, maybe it's far-fetched, but the baby is besakana. Why? Well, you know, there is a higher rate of infection in babies that use formula, and certain types of antibodies are transferred, and other types of protections, and there's a lower chance of hospitalization and lower chance. I hold this to be sakana. So even though we wouldn't say, no, nobody would ever say that someone who decides not to nurse but to give formula is being over on losamad al hamayach, right? But someone who says that for me, I hold this to be sakana, so then it would be mutter. And there are many such mothers, and that will tell you for sure this is sakana. And there are even professional lactation consultants that will tell the mothers, for sure it's sakana. And if that's true, and that's the way they feel, then maybe there's basis for leniency. That's this. And Erulik said that even though traditionally he's always machmir about this, but he hears that sad to be makel. In other words, when a person, there's certain types of studim rechaikim, which don't qualify as losam ramayacha, but at the same time, a person who's worried about them, so we would say that that's pikuach nefesh. Now, this still only would be matir, a person to pump, if they feel that it would be pikuach nefesh. But for the person that does feel it's pikuach nefesh, and I have met many such young mothers, so then they would have this to rely on. And maybe that's the pshat in Rosh Shlomo Zalman's Kula. Now, and you could throw in the point of Stam Tinok Mesukan Eitzel Chalav. Obviously, that's not so pashut when there's formula, but it might be relevant in terms of not requiring umdina. The Chazon Ish quotes that. Gemara Yevamos Kuf Yodaled. I sent you the Chazon Ish also. Anyway, look at the Chazon Ish. We're out of time, so I'm going to have to be makatzar a little bit. But take a look at the Chazon Ish. And as I said, I don't think it's, according to the AMA, the American Medical Association, they recommend breastfeeding or pumping to, and in their Lashon, this helps lower the baby's chances of getting many infections, including ear infections, diarrhea, respiratory infections, meningitis, allergies, asthma, diabetes, obesity, sudden infant death syndrome. In other words, they...
They are more explosive. Yeah.
Sudden infant death syndrome, like no one...
My point is,
Are you in smicha or in mental school?
Right. I'm not being machria. What I'm saying is, someone who goes ahead and looks at their website and reads this, so they say, oh my gosh, the American Medical Association says that breastfeeding reduces the rates of death. So I hold this to be pikuach nefesh. So
someone looks at the MA website and gets nervous. Now it's a sakana. Like,
but that's the point.
The website doesn't address if you do it 6/7 at the time.
It's true, and again, you have to figure out what they feel. But if this is the way they feel, because this is what their lactation consultant told them, and I've heard from lactation consultants that say this. I've heard that
once a week.
They say that any amount is better. And Rabbi Willig is wrong when he says it's not pikuach nefesh. B'zeh alasha. The lactation consultants know Rabbi Willig's psak, and they rule against him on their medical. So fine. Now, obviously, as you're all noting, it's not so pashut. So is there any other things you could do? So there's an eitza that Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn in the Children's and Halacha Sefer came up with. And this is hard, but it's doable. And I know women who have done it. So what he suggests is the following. Putting your pump on a Shabbos. You could either keep on a Shabbos clock. It might depend on the pump, but this works for many pumps. And one way, you could either, the times you expect to pump, or you could do it, the easier way is to get one of those timers that have intervals of 15 minutes. You could just have it go on and off, on and off. So you'll always be able to, you know, within 15 minutes it'll be off. And then you put the pump on the breast while it's off. You have to make sure that your pumping is done in a way that's totally passive. So you have to sort of tie the pump on. So apparently this is somewhat tedious, but also doable. You have to make some type of device to keep it tied on, like an elastic band or something like that. And then it turns on, and that's grandma. And again, to be matir grandma for this, it's not very hard. Now, it's not pashut that this is grandma. That's true. Not pashut at all. But to be somech on the mekilim, the other tzadim, and the Ramban, and maybe those that say Santa Raisa, and those that say it's Grama and the like. So it's not crazy to be Makel, especially if you have a someone who's very, very concerned. Okay, what I wanted to talk about, but we're out of time, and I don't think we'll go on next time, but the sugya that you saw by Rabbi Mirenus in Yevamos Kuf Yadalad, we actually already talked about that a little bit, so we don't have to get up to that. So what we're going to start with next time, Bezer Hashem, we'll start with Menafetz. I'm not going to spend too much time on Menafetz, but the main thing we're going to talk about next time is go back to Aschita, which is very important, and I also...
juicy topic.
Very juicy topic. Oh, we'll talk about Mashkin Shizavu and the issues of Dirabanan and Shchita. And then I think the next thing that we're going to do, we're going to talk about the other Dinim Dirabanan relating to that, like crushing snow, making ice on Shabbos, melting ice on Shabbos. So we'll do all the ice issues. That'll probably be next year. The Derises and Derabanans. And then, again, maybe a little bit we'll talk about Ketisha, which is interesting, Tata Vayin Dalet Amid Aleph. And then the next big topic will be baby wipes, toothbrushing. We're not going to do all toothbrushing. We're just going to do the Shchita components of toothbrushing. But baby wipes is having finished, figured out how to nurse your baby. We now talk about how you could change their diaper. And we'll talk about that. And I'll send out some more of my Makomos on that topic.